can't see Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
I wanted to start by just asking you, what did it mean to you? What do you think it meant to his family and the franchise that NFL teams were holding a moment of silence for Marshawn Nealon before all of the games yesterday?
Well, obviously, this is very difficult. I can't imagine for his family. And then, of course, you talk about his extended family, which is his teammates and Cowboys organization and, you know, everybody, you know, who cared and loved Marshawn so much. And certainly, you know, whenever we've lost, whenever I've personally been involved in losing somebody, it always you know, it's good for your heart and soul when people, you know, either observe moments of silence or they send notes or whatever their method is of letting them know you're thinking about you, then certainly that's how, you know, certainly I'm sure that's to some degree how they feel. I'm not walking in their shoes.
I imagine that you probably heard this news from somebody that you trusted, but you really, really hoped that they were wrong about this one.
Yeah, anytime you get news like that, your heart just obviously it's like a hole going through it, and you just heartbroken, and certainly hoping that wasn't the case. I found out in the middle of the night, so woke up you know, after finally got a little bit of sleep, woke up and was hoping it was a dream, but unfortunately it wasn't.
Do you always know that those, or more often than not, that those middle of the night calls feels like for everybody in every walk of life, those are almost always bad calls?
They're not good. And you can imagine, you know, the thoughts that go through your mind. And certainly it was one of those calls. It was not a good one.
You know, it was interesting. I believe it was Thursday, we were talking with Brian Broaddus, and we asked him, you know, are you always, like, when are you most concerned this? And Broaddus was like, you're always concerned. And I'm a dad, I got three kids, and I imagine you guys run this as a family business. You guys probably feel like these players are family to you at times, too. Do you kind of feel that like, you're always concerned about these guys? You're always kind of worried about things involving their personal lives and stuff?
Well, I've had, you know, young kids that are, you know, gone through that time period. My son right now is 26, yeah. And you certainly worry because I know what I was doing when I was young. And, of course, the call we got on Marshawn's the worst of all. You certainly get other calls that certainly aren't good and are alarming, but certainly one when it's loss of life is just, you know, it's just heartbreaking and tragic and the worst thing you can imagine.
What can or what will y'all do to honor and remember him?
Yeah, those things are in the works. We'll obviously be working closely with his family and his loved ones, and certainly working with his extended family, as I said, Coach Schottenheimer, with our team, and, you know, working on, you know, how we want to do this and what's in the best interest with the family, certainly first and foremost.
And Stephen, also, like, we, you know, we got to see him at the first training camp, and we were just caught, like, oh my gosh, this player's great. I love all these things that he can build on. What was it that you saw initially with him that intrigued you about him and where he was in developing as a player?
Well, the biggest thing was, you know, his energy and the way he played the game. You know, had a big passion and love for the game. He played with a high motor. He loved to get after it, and certainly that jumped off the tape when you watched Marshawn when we were scouting him. I mean, he just jumped off the tape in terms of, you know, how he hustled, how he played the game, his passion for the game, and certainly he was that way as a person, and played that way for us, and, you know, we're just going to miss him so much.
You know, Cooper Rush said that Brian Schottenheimer was the right guy for this team, especially in a tragic moment like this. Is that how you view it? And how do you transition back into football? Because, I mean, I know that's the game. That's the league. That's the life everyone's chosen, and you have to.
Yeah, you have to be involved. I've gotten, you know, certainly he's leaning on other coaches around the league who've been through this. He has such an amazing network, Coach Schottenheimer does, of people that he grew up with through his father. And certainly he has that. And at the end of the day, but I do agree with Cooper, just Coach Schottenheimer's so authentic in everything he's about. And it's straight from the heart. There's no BS, not one little bit of BS about Coach Schottenheimer. It's all authentic. It's all real with him. And he's certainly feeling the pain of all our players. And we know all our players will deal differently. Everybody deals with grief in different ways. And you have to respect all ways that people grieve.
Moving a little bit further forward here, I was kind of, what are y'all hoping to accomplish now with this bye week? Obviously, this is a different, unique situation, and kind of coming back into the Stars got to be a little different this week.
Well, it certainly puts everything in perspective. You're playing a game that's work, that means a lot to a lot of people, but there are things a lot more important than that. And certainly that's, what we're going through this week. And, so that'll be first and foremost, but then, we do know, like anything, we've got to get back to work, and, we just want to continue to honor Marshawn and, do everything the very best way we can.
How quickly do you think Quinnen Williams is going to be able to adapt to the system, and what you guys hope from him?
Yeah, we hope. I don't see any reason why it's not right away. We actually asked that, with our coaching staff, with Coach Schottenheimer, with Coach Eberflus, Coach Whitecotton, how big would the learning curve be when we were considering the trade? And they felt it would be negligible, that he should be able to step right in. He understands the defense, what we're trying to get accomplished, and hopefully steps right in and makes a big difference for us.
How, as far as you know, and I realize people still coming into the facility or will come into the facility, how's the health for the team looking, especially with the week off?
Yeah, it's certainly an arrow up in terms of, the guys that we were going to be, we're going to be getting back, obviously starting with a Overshown at linebacker there. He's ready to go, and barring something unforeseen, he and Revel and these guys should be ready to hit the ground running. So we're certainly, obviously had our mind on some other things, on other things, but certainly we'll get back to work.
Could you see a world in which Revel can play against the Raiders, or is that still work in progress? Because I know he's newer to the NFL.
Yeah, we don't want to project that. It's a work in progress, but certainly we'll see how the week goes, and if we think he can help us, he'll be active.
What did you like about Logan Wilson that made y'all want to bring him into this mix?
Well, he's just a savvy linebacker who's played that Mike position. Certainly with Sanborn being hurt, we hadn't had the natural Mike green dot guy, and that's something that Logan Wilson has done for Cincinnati. We really liked what we saw on tape in terms of his instincts, whereas Overshown and Murray and those guys are more Shamar James. They're more Will linebackers. And but it'll be nice. I think he can really help us in there. And, we'll let him and Murray get in there and compete, and they'll make each other better.
What have been your thoughts about Shamar James so far this year? Because, man, he has made some eye-popping plays along the way.
Sure, he's been outstanding and really doing a great job for us, and he'll continue, I think, to make a difference for us. He's going to play a lot of plays, and certainly look forward to him, his arrow going up. But at the same time, it's going to be great to get Overshown back as well. Everybody's seen and felt how he can make a difference in a game, and I know he's excited to get out there.
How do you balance that level of excitement? Because you just referenced it. We've talked about it. Overshown is as fired up of a dude as you are going to find.
Absolutely.
How can you balance, like, hey, I know you're pumped to get back out on the field versus, we might have to be a little bit cautious, or do you not view it that way?
I don't really view it that way. I think we let him go be Overshown. That's what he does. And he understands the game of football. He's going to play He's been ready. We've been, if anything, we've had to hold him back. But nothing, I don't think you harness that. Certainly we'll make sure and we'll be observing as the game goes, you know, how his energy levels are, and don't want to put him, you know, at the end of the day, don't want to give him too much. If we feel like he needs to have some sort of pitch count, we'll decide that by the end of the week. But right now, we view it as he's certainly done everything he needs to do to be a player.
You know, Stephen, before the trade deadline, you know, Jerry made the proclamation that these players, the ideas of what he wanted to add here and what you guys wanted to put in here, were going to make immediate solutions to some of the problems that you kind of had defensively. Do you see it that same way, that this should be immediate solutions?
Oh, I think we should, you know, we're very optimistic, yeah, and think that we will be much better. I mean, you know, I hadn't mentioned him on this call, but getting Hooker back is going to be a big deal. You know, he's the quarterback back there, and he'll make a big difference. And then you take Overshown, and then our new additions. And, you know, like we said, Revel's going to be a work in progress because he's, you know, he hadn't played any football till these last couple of weeks. So we'll see with him. But, you know, this is all defensive help. And, I mean, doesn't take anyone watching our games to understand that's where we need help.
You sound, Stephen, like you're ready to go on a run in the back half of this season right now.
Well, we certainly are always optimistic about our football team, and you know, feel good about the players on our team, and feel like we've helped our team not only for this year but for the future. With Quinnen Williams, I mean, he's a dominant young player in this league, and we feel great about that. And we just feel like with our offense playing that it's played for most of the year, and if we continue to improve and, you know, getting these guys back can help us the way we think it can, we do think we could get on a run.
I know this is old news to you, but a lot of us just heard about this weekend, the supposed poison pill in the Micah Parsons deal that would prevent him from being traded to the Eagles in the future. Are those kind of caveats put in a lot of trades where you're like, hey, you can't trade this player to this team without additional compensation?
Yeah, you know, Mike is in our past. He's a Green Bay Packer, and we're concerned about our future. And our future, you know, are the going to be the 53 guys we have on our team when we get ready to play Vegas. So we're fired up about that and not about the past.
Regarding that trade deadline, one more time though, as you were wrapping things up, were you still happy that you had you know, a few first round picks still left in the next couple of years, or did you want to spend those for now?
No, those are a big part of you know, a big part of the negotiation that we had was you know, we obviously think our offense is firing on all cylinders, and we think these two first round picks that we're going to have next year can really help improve our football team even more as we go forward. So it's really important to keep those, and I really feel good about where we've ended up and, you know, where our team sits, and we'll assess our team again when before the draft and before free agency and see what we need to do when that time comes. But right now our focus is trying to beat the Raiders, and I feel good about our football team, and obviously you know, there's a lot more things more important than football, and our team's been hit with that square in the eyes, but I'm sure they'll respond, and we've got great leadership, and Coach Schottenheimer and his staff, you know, and Jerry's a tremendous leader when it comes to adversity, and certainly the players on the team, we've got great leadership, so we'll certainly, you know, have some challenges there in terms of some things that we're going to have to work through, but you know, at the same time, you know, we're excited to go play the Raiders as well. So, you know, that's, you know, part of the circle of life, if you will.
Well, we appreciate that you're able to give us insight on so many different things, from the team to the competition committee to the business side of everything. I'm just curious, because this involves some of our other Metroplex teams. Do you know if there's been any discussions about the Stars buying land out by the Star to build a new arena?
I certainly am not. That's just, you'd need to visit with the Stars and their ownership and leadership there.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, as always, and best of luck going forward against the Raiders.
All right, guys. Appreciate being on.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Nice try, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate
hey,
you.
Never know.
I think he respected that, too.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what? You're trying.
Yeah.
I can't answer that.
Yeah.
I do feel like he wanted to say, though, maybe ask Jerry. So right. I'm just saying, that's right. How I feel, but no guarantees there.
I was hoping I would get more traction out of the, again, supposed poison pill in the Mica deal. Because my question wasn't really about just the Mica trade. I just wanted to know, like, is that a feature of a lot of NFL trades where they're like, hey, but if you trade it to our rival in the future, that's going to cost you some more.
I like it because they don't, I mean, obviously it would reflect poorly on us if he ever ended up there because of this. So I like it because they're covering their butts, but, you know, there's a different situation there.
Right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do some NFL overreaction or reality? Plus, we'll bring you a Stars and Mavs super segment. It's all coming at you next in the Expressway right here on The Fan.
Brissett in an empty gun, trips to the left, back looking to his right, throwing to his right in the end zone. McBride turned Marquise Bell inside out. Touchdown, Arizona.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We have moved into the Expressway. We got tons of content. We got the Mavericks and Stars super segment. But right now, we're going to start with NFL overreaction or reality, and we begin with this one. Your weekend was far less stressful with no Cowboys football. Overreaction or reality?
Reality, absolutely. And one of the reasons being, next Monday night, Kevin, I'll be at Forney's Bearded Monkey.
Oh.
Yeah, we're having an awesome time. The official fan watch parties at the Bearded Monkey. That'll be 6 to 9 is what I'm going to be there for, but kickoff is at 7:15. We get started early, though. And then the locations of 104 East U.S. Highway 80, plenty of Tolo giveaways, some very limited giveaways also, and some Tolo stickers to give away. So that's going to be a party. But that's what I'm saying is when the Cowboys play, I leave the house. I don't think I left the house yesterday. I think I was just like, I am going to be watching football, relaxing. And then I did some chores around the house too, but it definitely did. It did de-stress my weekend.
Alec, overreaction reality. Your weekend was less stressful with no Cowboys football.
A 1,000% reality. I was actually productive like all day yesterday instead of just rotting on the couch, watching the game, taking notes, and, you know, just suffering for the most part this season. Yeah, you know, it's cool to actually go grocery shopping in the middle of the day and not planning around, hey, I've got a Cowboy game to watch. But like you said, the stress, I didn't care what happened in any of these games. I just wanted good football. And I got it because I was watching Jonathan Taylor right when I woke up. He went scorched earth in a different country.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah, like there was some good football yesterday, and it was nice that none of it really mattered. It was just good football.
We're going to go pretty out there with this next pair of questions. Overreaction or reality or statements? Josh Allen should not be in the MVP conversation after getting crushed by the Dolphins.
This is pretty out there. I don't know if anybody's...
You just wait till the next one.
I don't know if anybody's told you that or not. But numbers-wise, he doesn't match up to a lot of other quarterbacks that are doing certain things.
14th in QBR.
Man, by the way, Aaron Rodgers, QBR, we'll get to it at 1 o'clock. Pretty bad. This weekend. I think there are other people that are much more deserving. Again, this does go to his team, is expected to be at the top of the AFC, but there are other guys that are having MVP caliber seasons right now. He's in there as name alone.
Miami had lost 7 straight against the Bills, and this was the third biggest upset of the NFL season.
I will say this. I just saw Dable's offensive numbers outside of having Josh Allen were in the low 20s for everybody. When he had Josh Allen, it was 15th. So, like, having Josh Allen does make you better, but, dude...
Maybe that coordinator job's not coming up so quick.
That team relies so much on him, on Josh Allen to do things. I understand he's the MVP for that team, but...
Is he?
You think James Cook is?
Maybe this year.
So, I don't know.
By the way, going back to the first question, overreaction, the Cowboys didn't play, so I had a honey-do list a mile long. From the 641 reality, the Cowboys give me an unhealthy amount of stress. And from the 972, it's reality, but I miss the stress of Cowboys games. Alec, for you, overreaction reality, Josh Allen should not be in the MVP conversation.
That's pretty out there, Kevin. I'm not sure if you knew that.
You just wait till the next one.
But it's not off base. It's a reality.
Oh.
I'm over it. I'm over the Bills hype.
Okay.
I am.
Then I'm going to go to you for this bonus question.
Oh, geez.
Bonus overreaction reality. Drake May is the best quarterback in the AFC East.
Reality. Right here, right now. Right here, right now, he is. 100%. He's my MVP right now.
I can see that.
And it's only because it's a QB award. My real MVP is Jonathan Taylor,
sure.
And I think he should be, and he deserves to win it if the season ended today. But it should be Drake May. He's done incredible things. That offense is tailor-made to him. He's making every throw. If you want to go full Tom Brady, you can say it's an A-plus throw pretty much every time he leans his arm back and fires off a pass, whether it's 5 yards or 50 yards downfield. And it's with a bunch of guys that you probably wouldn't expect too much from in terms of his receivers. Like Hunter Henry isn't doing much for you, but Stephon Diggs in 2025 is doing something for you. Kayshon Booth. Like, yes, a name that we just like to laugh at and had a gambling accusation at one point. He's been a really good player for them. Like, Drake May is my MVP. It's that simple.
Kevin, at the moment, rating-wise, Lamar Jackson's a 127-1 in six games.
Oh, Drake, I see where you went.
In the AFC, Drake May is a 113-9. Which is the next best. It's the sixth best in the NFL.
Best in his division.
He's playing great football. His defense is playing exceptional. And the Patriots are back, and that hurts my soul. They got back so fast.
So Drake May is the best quarterback in the AFC East?
I think so.
Ooh, All right. But I could tell what you really wanted me to get to.
Oh, you wanted it to be Justin Fields?
No. You wanted me to get to the Ravens. So I will.
I didn't really.
Nope, that's what I heard.
Okay.
So, sure. Did the Vikings have three turnovers? Yes. Did they have eight false starts in front of their own home crowd? Yes. Overreaction or reality, Corey Majors, you are ready to believe in the Ravens as a real playoff team again.
I think so. I will say for the, I don't know if it's the one J.J. McCarthy fan that texts into our show a lot, or if there's multiple, but there is one specifically that's like, y'all need to give him credit. He just has moments where it's like, what? We'll get to Justin Jefferson also in the C block here, but he has moments where you're just like, he's still learning how to play this game. You know,
right.
He's technically a rookie still at this, but the he made the Ravens defense look like a good defense. They played good defense against him, so maybe it was them that made them look like good defense. But we haven't seen good defense out of them a lot. We did this weekend. They were playing very good, and J.J. McCarthy couldn't beat them. So, yeah, Kevin, I think I might be buying in that the Ravens are back.
Oh, Alec, do you believe in the Ravens as an honest-to-goodness real playoff team now?
Oh, I hate it.
They've won three in a row to not be 500 yet. Their record is half a game better than the Cowboys. Now I realize some of the circumstances around that, but...
Oh, I'm going to go reality just because the AFC is drunk. It doesn't make any sense.
It is.
It really doesn't make any sense right now. I feel like all of the preseason predictions are out the window at this point, and it's so wide open because Pittsburgh doesn't know who the hell they want to be. Miami's out here pulling off upsets when they should be writing up the firing papers for their head coach. Like, I don't understand anything that's happening. So at this point, I just have to believe that they're going to be. And they've looked good. Like, they've won those games, yes, but they've looked good doing it too. So I think that's going to continue.
All right. Now, let's go back to the Giants. In case you missed it about 45 minutes ago, 50 minutes ago, they fired their coach. But overreaction to reality, Jackson Dart needs to change his playing style. So he rushed for 66 yards and two touchdowns, but he takes a lot of big hits, got hurt, suffering a concussion. Now, positive, first ever quarterback to have a rushing touchdown in five consecutive games to start his career. But overreaction reality, Jackson Dart needs to change his playing style.
Reality, I think he will. And okay. Because go look at what Dable's career was. He loved having a running quarterback for some whatever reason. He was like, go. Now, you don't have Malik Nabers. Like, your options are limited. But they seem to be very heavily reliant on, hey, if all else fails, just take off running, bruh. And Jackson Dart was fine with it. And he was, you know what? He's good at it. He is good. But Aaron Rodgers said this during RG3's time. At some point, these young players are going to realize they don't like getting hit.
Yeah.
And then they're going to change their style of play. Cam Newton, we saw with him. We saw with RG3. Any guys that have been Marcus Mariota, they don't want to take off running as much. They'd rather be pocket quarterbacks.
Right.
Because the hits that they take on their body are even worse whenever they're out there trying to sprint full speed and then get hit full speed.
Alec, what say you?
I go reality. I like what Corey said, where Jackson Dart, like, he can do it, but he also passes it with flying colors. I think about the touchdown run that he had yesterday. He looked like a running back following his blocks. You know, the field vision and awareness that he has, he is a spectacular athlete. And as pointed out by the morning show last Friday, he oddly looks like our own Jacob Ray. So I feel like I have to be a fan of his now.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm rooting for his success for sure.
I see it now.
You see it now. Next time you see him, tell him to take the hat off and you'll notice.
I kind of see it.
Yeah. So no, it's a shame that he's in this division because he's electric, and I'm glad for him as the player that he's going to get a new start and a new opportunity. But at the same time, I always hate the first-year quarterback having to get a new play caller and everything. But I always thought the new interim coach, their offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, I thought he was one of the better offensive minds in football for a while. And then he went to New York and everybody's blaming Dable and everything. I think Kafka could be a legit contender there.
Now, I know we move past this one, but from the 2-5-4, the Ravens as a contender, nevermore. Overreaction. I like that. Overreaction or reality? You want the Packers to trade Micah to the Eagles now because you know it would get you another first-round pick. If you missed it, there's a supposed poison pill in that deal.
Why would they do it?
I mean, to amuse me. But if the Packers were to trade Micah to the Eagles, the Cowboys would get a first-round pick in 2028. So I think there's, like, literally almost 0% chance. I guess 0.0001. But
in any year?
I think it's up until 2028.
Okay, so in a year before that or at that time.
Correct.
Okay.
So put logic aside. You get to control. You want Micah to get traded to the Eagles so you get an extra first-round pick. Overreaction or reality?
Well, I mean, the one time the Cowboys played against the Micah Parsons-led team, they tied them.
And they scored 40 points.
So we're going to get two ties a year, is what you're telling me.
I mean...
That's a win.
Yeah. Exactly. That is. It's a win and a loss.
It's a
win. And you get a first-round pick. That sounds like a yes to
me. I don't know, man.
Coward. In this scenario,
this is a
that will never
first
happen.
First off, this is a ridiculous scenario.
Hey, I didn't put it in the contract.
Good point.
They clearly thought it was possible, or else why even bother?
That is valid. I don't want him to trade him. I want him to keep him forever, and then for him to, you know, have his great successes on his
in the regular
his
season.
Life and stuff.
Alec, overreaction or reality? You know the language. You want the Packers to trade Micah to the Eagles, so you get another first round pick.
Reality, because the scenario is so
big
stupid.
Facts.
But I do like the idea in my mind. I don't know how you came up with this, Kevin, but in my mind, the way it happened was the Packers knew, okay, we're getting a good deal here, so here's the thing. We're going to try to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. If we don't, we're going to trade him right before 28, and we're going to trade him to Philly so he can be happy, go back to his hometown, and we'll get you another first-round pick because we probably didn't give you enough. So, hey, if the Super Bowl win doesn't happen, we're just going to go ahead and move on from him, and you'll get another pick, and you're going to look so smart.
Hey, just consider.
How is that affecting their cap, Kevin, if they trade him? Doesn't that...
That would be bad. I would have to look for a more nuanced answer. Look, You're right, but consider this.
This is a show about real sports, okay. Kevin, not imagination
well, here's
land.
A real thing. Millionaires and billionaires took their time out to put this in print in the contract. I didn't make this up.
It
exists in the contract.
How did it get in the world?
I don't know, but it sounded like Steven was not super pumped that it was out in the world. We're moving on.
True.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality. Even when he's healthy, Jaden Daniels should not play again this season. Commanders are 3-7. He's already taken a beating these first couple years, and that team sucks. Again, not nuanced, but there you go.
Overreaction or reality, what was the...
He should not play again this year, even when he's healthy. Because by the time he comes back, would it be 4-10?
Yeah. No, he should. He's the leader of this team. He's going to want to, for one.
I don't doubt that.
Like, this is just like, you know, any leader is going to want to be out there for their guys for failures and positive. Like, they want to be there. So, I think he should, because I think it would be good for him to, you know, be part of the process of getting this thing back in order. But right now it is so chaotic. I don't know what they are, but I think he should.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to go reality here, just because it goes back to a question you asked us in a previous edition of this segment is, you know, is this going to be the story of his career?
Yeah.
Is he going to be riddled with injuries? And I think Corey and I both said yes. And just for the sake of the game, I hope we're wrong, but it's already quickly becoming a trend. I'd rather him just have as much time off of his feet to say, hey, next year, 100%, we're going to improve on the offensive line, try to keep you on your feet a little bit. You don't need to risk that. We've seen that story happen too many times in meaningless games. You know, oh, the feel-good story, it was a gross-looking injury, and here he comes. He's coming back and playing the last two games, and then he gets hurt again.
Yeah.
Even if it's a concussion or a sprained ankle, something that people come back from relatively quick, I'm going to be like, y'all are dumb. What are we doing?
And just for the record, Corey, I don't disagree with you at all. I'm sure Jaden Daniels would almost demand to want to play.
Kevin, I think this same theory from the 940 regarding the Micah Parsons poison pill.
Tell me.
Their theory is they put the poison pill in the trade because Philly offered far more than we got for Micah. And that trade
they knew they had to pay the Philly tax or whatever, rival tax.
Optics again. It's always about optics one. But then that, you know, that payover gets moved to the Cowboys. The Packers don't really benefit from the payover, if you will. But then it's not the Cowboys trading the player. It is the semantics of it all.
So the Cowboys would feel stupid if the Packers traded him to the Eagles. And they're like, well, crap. Why the hell didn't we just do that?
Yeah, well, now here we can.
We could get
the payoff. And we didn't have to be the ones that gave him to that guy.
That sounds pretty reasonable to me. Alec, could you please go ahead and give us cut number one, good sir, as let's get some Mavs and Stars super segment action going.
Nice move, hanging on to it, scoring! Tyler Seguin! The bouncing puck, and he managed to settle it down and sneak it past Murray.
Now, Corey, I hope it's okay with you to start with the Stars, since they won both of their weekend games and not just one of them.
Okay.
Tyler Seguin scores the game winner against the Kraken. All the scoring, and that was just with 30 seconds left in the first period, and that was a wrap. Casey DeSmith looked fantastic, even though you were still getting a lot of shots on net against you. We talked about it whenever DeSmith's in there. If you can get at least a point, that's fantastic. You ended up getting both the points, and if you were late to the game, you missed all of the offense in the first period.
Kevin, I kept getting messages this weekend about Otter, and people are very concerned with him. Does that change your perspective at all on that DeSmith was good, or was that just needed during what feels like an Otter time?
I mean, it was probably needed, because right when I said, I don't think he'd been bad, I think he'd been fine, he went out there and put up a clunker against Nashville. And I know
that's when I started getting Otter's the problem.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no.
Okay.
And then people are like, bring back DeBoer.
Look, man, that got decided. You lost. Like, maybe he'll end up being proven right, but the way that all fell out, Sorry, he ended up losing that one. But yeah, that was another tough start for Otter, who has a really good record. But if you look at the things, it's almost like a pitcher that he's more responsible for, save percentage, goals against. It has been a rough run. I will say, I feel like usually you get at least one rough run of Otter during the regular season.
And in the playoffs?
Yeah, sometimes in the playoffs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I understand that concern. The good news is, you know what? If we played cut one, we might as well play cut 11. You were still able to get all 4 points this weekend, helped out by this gentleman.
Stars on the attack. Johnston right side. They score! Sam Steele, the setup from Johnston. And this time it's Dallas who lands a 1-2 punch, and they've moved in front.
There was, and this is probably the most agitating part for the defense and for Ottinger. In the second period, you were controlling the game after a great early goal in the second. And you give up 2 goals in the span of 27 seconds. And you're playing catch-up the rest of the way. Now, the great news is you had caught up multiple times, mm-hmm. including about a minute before this exact goal. But you did end up getting the game winner, I guess double game winners. And you take the 4 points in those two games. You have been able to move up the standings in no small part, in fact, in most part, to the fact that you've gotten points in 9 of your last 10 games.
Yeah, and that's a positive there. And Kevin, you are feeling like the special teams is going to be a strength of this team at some point.
I think like, so. More than just it like really a, should.
It feels like it teeters back and forth.
Yeah.
But does it? It feels like that it's going in the better direction.
Well, I think it is. But if I'm being fair. Totally fair. It started off in a pretty horrid direction.
Yes.
So, yes, it is going in a better direction. The other thing is, I don't know what you take from this at this point in the season, because, I mean, look, we're in the middle of November almost. So you still got an awful, awful long way to go. But the vast majority of your wins, I think maybe even all of your wins as part of this streak, have been by one goal. So you have shown a good resolve, and at least one of those games you lost in extra time or overtime, you were able to tie late and get a point. And so I think that's encouraging, but it is November, so I don't know how much like stock you really want to put in that in November.
Stay near the top.
Okay.
And then if you have a you know, 10-game run, not of 10 straight, but like sure. a 10-game where you're maybe 8-2, 9-1, you're feeling pretty good about where you contend.
And like it's not quite that, but you can almost say you're in the middle of that run right now because you've had 10 games. You've gone 6-1-3. That's 15 out of 20 points. If you get 15 out of 20 points, you're going to win the President's Trophy, which obviously means you'll lose early in the playoffs. But they have been able to kind of, at least early on, move out of that glut of Winnipeg, Utah, Minnesota that we might have expected, Chicago, which I might not have expected because Connor Bedard looks like he's ready to put the rest of the league on notice now in, I believe, his third season. But you have really been playing significantly better, and if the penalty kill continues to get better, power play, then you really got something.
All right, then let's do that.
So see, that's positive. I want it noted on the record that was a lot of positive things, right? A lot of positive
it
things.
It feels, Alec, I don't know about you. I've worked with Kevin for a while.
Mm.
And it feels like when he sets up something with something like that, that he's prepared to go in a very deep negative hole.
Yeah, and I don't like it. It's only Monday, Kevin.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
Come on, bro. What could have possibly gone that bad this weekend?
How are you supposed to do a Stars and Mavs super segment without talking about a team that needed to win to not have the worst record in all of the Western Conference? Go ahead and give me cut number 2, and let's talk about the Mavs.
He hit right at the end of the first half for his only 3 of the game, and one of his 2 made baskets. Alley-oop, big finish. Cooper upstairs to Daniel Gafford.
Now
we have to isolate
by popular
that.
Demand. By Corey. Let's go ahead and fire that cutoff one more time.
He hit right at the end of the first half for his only three of the game and one of his two made baskets.
That sounded like Mike.
Finish. It did.
It sounded like Mike.
It really did. So fantastic. We can go to the positive because
Najee Marshall pouring in 30,
yes,
baby.
Yes. And that is super positive because the game before Friday night, that was a tough one. You lost 118-104 in a game that honestly most of the way didn't even feel that close. And you were playing a Grizzlies team that had lost four straight games. And I know they have their own issues with Ja Morant, but also Cooper Flagg took 2 3-pointers in that game that didn't even hit the rim. And the first one, I was like, oh, maybe it was a bad angle. But the second one, I was like, come on, dude, what the hell was that? And so that was a brutal game. And then you play the Wizards. And let's be clear, the Wizards absolutely suck. They are probably the worst team in all of basketball. I don't know if the Pacers want to argue about that because of all their injuries and everything. But the Wizards absolutely suck. And guess what? You were losing early on to the Wizards 16-9. And I was like, son of a gun. If you lose this game, fine. Maybe I'll jump on board with everyone. We'll start moving and shaking things straight away. But then you went on a 19-0 run to take the lead, and I know there were some tighter times, but you did get the win. You just referenced it. Najee Marshall putting up 30 points, and you know what I have loved about this run of basketball? I know people have hated this run of basketball because the Mavericks are 3-7, but depending more on Najee Marshall and seeing more out of Max Christie.
You were very. I like Najee Marshall. Learned last year he could be a ball handler and also a scorer.
Yeah,
massive points he can put up. You know, in a hurry too throughout the night. So I'm liking seeing that they're going back to that well a little bit again. But the Max Christie minutes, you've been very adamant about the defense and some of the other qualities.
For sure.
And he's getting better at handling and bringing up the ball, too, when called upon. And you pair him with Cooper Flagg on the court,
which is,
and you're like, the length on that part of the ball is pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And your defense doesn't take a dive. Like, I mean, D'Angelo Russell can score for this team, the last game notwithstanding in his three-point shooting. But, like, defensively, you're going to take a big hit there. Now, I realize the alternate viewpoint is you just won to go to 3-7. You're half a game out of last place in the Western Conference. I hear you on that, but those are positives along the way.
Well, and let's take this other two positives, Kevin. A, Cooper Flagg's numbers, when you look at it, every night I feel like there's not a zero in his assists, steals, blocks, rebound. Like, there's always a number there. And that's really cool to see because he's an all-around player.
Sure.
Like, this dude does everything.
And I think his defense has looked really good. You've seen some great blockouts on the backside rebounds that have, like, sparked some things. And I think the defense as a whole has looked really good. One thing, and I know I kind of took a shot at him for those 2 3-pointers on Friday, but seriously, his 3-point shooting early in the season has been awful.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
I want to be honest. No. I love Cooper Flagg, but his early 3-point shooting has been terrible.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out, like, the all-around things are good. The other thing, Kevin, that I think we've learned in this stretch is the Mavericks are 3-1 when Dwight Powell scores a point. And
right,
and they
and
are
0-6 when he doesn't.
They have one. Yeah, that one loss when he scored 5 points. But every other game, yeah, 0-6 or whatever when he does not score.
Oh.
So what we're finding
is
we have a better percentage of wins when Dwight Powell is the man. Is what I'm learning here.
Okay, look,
this last game on Saturday he scored 2 points. So that was more than 1 point.
I will default to what you used to say about Josh Howard. Run the Josh Howard plays. If when he scored 20 points, you were just unfreaking stoppable.
Score all 20 in the first quarter.
Put Dwight Powell in. He just has to score a point.
Yeah.
Put him in the first quarter. Get him to the line.
Yes.
Get him a bucket.
Yes.
And let's see.
Then just put this thing in cruise control, baby.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what the truth is.
Now,
I'm not saying that Dwight Powell's the truth. I'm just saying it
kind of sounds like you are.
The numbers show what they show.
Well, I would love to see that in the next game because you play the Bucks. And if you put him in there and you get him a point and then they win the game, then we'll be moving in the right direction. But I want to go back to Dirk for just a second.
Oh, no.
Because I think he crystallizes how a lot of people still feel about this team.
And Dwight Powell?
This is not necessarily about Dwight Powell, but how a lot of people feel about this team, especially with the buzz building about Nico's job safety. Dirk said, "I feel bad for my Mavs fans. This has been a disastrous start. Obviously, there is a hole at the point guard and playmaking position, at shot creating, at shot making. They can't shoot. They can't make plays. Nobody can make shots. It's been tough to watch."
That was a lot of things.
None of them are wrong.
That he said.
Right?
And it's frustrating.
Well, like I said, you beat the worst team in the league to break a four-game winning streak, or a four-game losing streak, so there's that.
I think Mike Curtis just texted in. He said, "So what I'm hearing is Dwight Powell's moving up the ranks as best Maverick."
He's going to put out an emergency situation. Dwight Powell's in the top 15.
Guys, KNC scoffed, but guess what?
You know what? If we get to 10-0 when Dwight Powell scores a point, I will make an on air apology.
Well, we're already 3-1, so we're gonna have to work on that.
If we get to 10-2, how about that? Because that's when we're on 10-2.
We're on 10-2.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Golden Toilet. How much is that worth? Next in The Fan.
Ooh.